Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, the Kremlin has played down talk of an imminent summit between Russian President Vladimir Putin and Ukraine's Volodymyr Zelensky. It comes as Donald Trump renewed his call for the two leaders to meet to discuss ending the war in Ukraine. However, Mr. Trump has suggested it would be better if Putin and Zelensky met without him. That was in an interview with conservative radio talk show host Mark Levin. Donald Trump also said American troops will not be sent to Ukraine, but the United States may provide air support as part of a peace deal with Russia, a message reiterated by the White House press secretary Caroline Leavitt.
The president has definitively stated U.S. boots will not be on the ground in Ukraine, but we can certainly help in the coordination and perhaps provide other means of security guarantees to our European allies. The president understands security guarantees are crucially important to ensure a lasting peace, and he has directed his national security team to coordinate with our friends in Europe and also to continue to cooperate and discuss these matters with Ukraine and Russia as well.
That's Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary. Now, James Waterhouse is the BBC's Ukraine correspondent and he joins me on the line. James, thanks for being with us today. Now, before we discuss whether that summit, that meeting might happen, I just want to ask you about the Russian strikes overnight. We had some in the Sumy region, reports of at least 12 people injured, but there were others too. What has happened?
Yeah, we've seen strikes. Well, as you say, in Sumy, we've seen the university buildings there targeted, where Russia continues to sort of make a minor cross-border incursion. The Ukrainians seem to be holding them in the northeast, but when you're there, you really do see a regular flow of Iranian-made Shahed drones flying overhead, ballistic missiles. It really is a focal point for Russia's aerial assault on Ukraine. I mean, elsewhere, you've just got to take your pick in the eastern Donetsk region, where, you know, with it being a central negotiating point on for these ongoing peace efforts, Russia is throwing everything at trying to take the remaining third of that province, targeting cities like Kostantinivka. So it has been another night of aerial bombardment in a stark contradiction to the peace efforts sort of surrounding Russia's ongoing invasion.
Well, let's talk about what's happening on that front, because we know Donald Trump would like President Putin and President Zelensky to meet. They seem to want him to act as mediator in the first instance and to be there. Certainly, President Zelensky seems to want that. But Donald Trump would rather, would he, the two men meet without him firstly?
Yeah, it's an interesting move. I think Donald Trump clearly wants to be peacemaker. And he may have been briefed or understanding that Vladimir Putin would rather just negotiate with the US directly. And so this does, I think, if you look at what the Russian papers are saying this morning, especially, you know, it's confused things slightly because, you know, for Vladimir Putin, as one Russian commentator put it, to agree to a one-on-one with President Zelensky, which he won't want to do, the only circumstances in which you think that would be acceptable is if it was if Russia's agenda had been furthered in these talks from those discussions in Alaska last week. Did Donald Trump make concessions to Russia in terms of sanction relaxations or recognition of occupied territory? Would that be sufficient for Vladimir Putin to think, right, I will now do what he wants and meet Volodymyr Zelensky? And if, as you say, with the Kremlin putting the brakes on, with Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister, saying, look, more work needs to be done in stages. You can't just have a meeting for the media's sake. It seems that such a step could be ever distant or ever close. We just don't know. But I think that unity you saw from Europe around Ukraine, that gathering in the White House, is to show to Donald Trump they're serious. And I think they're also hoping that he might get tough with Russia, but it's hard to see just how prepared he is to do that because he hasn't taken any punitive measures yet.
Yeah, and he keeps hinting, and he has done it over the last number of hours as well. You know, if they don't do this, it won't be good for them. But we just don't know what he means.
I don't either, I confess. You know, I've been following the kind of diplomatic flurry over the last week from Brussels and Berlin as European leaders sort of scratching their heads, trying to work out, trying to get themselves into the conversation. And you have these kind of sound bites from the US president, which give them reasons for optimism, such as things could get rough if Vladimir Putin doesn't agree. And then he'll say something like, well, you know, there's going to be a lot of land swaps, you know, which is a Russian proposal. Like, how do you swap Ukrainian land for Ukrainian land? You know, for Kyiv, it's a non-starter. So it's really difficult. I think there are two things I'm struggling with. What measures Donald Trump is going to take to force Russia to have that bilateral he clearly wants to happen next. But also, you know, what on earth does he mean by US security guarantees? It's quite something that he's happy for, or suggesting that America could be involved in Ukraine's longer term future. He's ruled out boots on the ground. But we don't know beyond that what America is prepared to do.
And the Europeans and NATO, you know, those who certainly were at the meeting the other day in the White House, they've been trying since to work out how that security guarantee might look. They want that to be defined before any meeting takes place. What sort of progress, if any, has been made on that front?
There is very little public detail. So you've had the meeting of defense ministers last week. You've now got chiefs of staff and NATO members today. There all have been countless virtual summits between members of the so-called Coalition of the Willing, which is a mixture of European, mostly European allies in the absence of America. And they are under pressure to come up with a blueprint with America's buy-in. And, you know, Emmanuel Macron, Keir Starmer have suggested that they would provide boots on the ground. And there are a whole host of reports of American American teams drawing up plans for air support, logistics, perhaps intelligence sharing, ammunition, which, yes, would be welcomed. But there is a practical flaw here in that if you say you have European allies with diminished militaries, with reduced defense spending over the last decade plus. You know, if you're sending troops to Ukraine to police an enormous front line alongside Ukraine's military, you know, what will happen if Russian concentrates its force and has a go? You know, will it have America behind it to prevent a further escalation? Or to prevent Russia from taking more of Ukraine? How long will they have to be there for? I mean, there are these gaping unknowns, which mean that Ukraine has no idea as to, you know, what eventual peace deal they'll sign, whether it'll be worth the paper it's written.
And it's got to be effective, but at the same time, it's got to be something that Russia is going to be willing to accept. So that's a very hard balance to strike, particularly as the United States is saying, well, we'll help with this, but not with that.
Yeah, and like Donald Trump 2 days ago said, Vladimir Putin said he would accept American involvement in Ukrainian security guarantees. If you look at Russian media over the last 12 hours, that's clearly a non-starter. The idea of NATO troops, as they put it, being on Ukrainian soil after the fighting is paused. And then, you know, I was listening to a former NATO general who was talking about the peacekeeping forces in Bosnia. You know, you have thousands of Western troops there that didn't prevent atrocities from taking place in the country. And that we're talking about a far smaller scale conflict there. So, you know, when you've got battle-hardened Russian forces that are consolidating, fortifying their own positions, and who are led by a Russian president who still wants to, you know, doesn't recognize Ukraine, clearly still wants to take all of it. How on earth do you A, prevent that from happening, and B, prevent a much wider conflict, which the West seemingly until now has been extremely wary of, and which is why Ukraine has had to fight this war on its own?
Well, James, thank you for clearing as much fog as you possibly can from that situation. It's really good to talk to you. That's James Waterhouse from the BBC. Still to come on the programme, we'll hear about calls to clamp down on nitrous oxide and its misuse as a recreational drug among young people. Next, though, how addressing your hearing loss in your 60s might just ward off dementia in later years.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.